evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, July 7th, 2020, 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. If we'd all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. Negron?
Present.
Mr. Reynolds?
Present.
Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Mr. Walder?
Present. Seeking approval of the minutes, we have none on the agenda this evening. We'll move on to public comment. This is a transitional meeting for us in a way we haven't done one in the past. City Hall was opened a couple weeks ago by the mayor, and this is the first opportunity for the council chambers to be open. So we're joined this evening by about 10 members of the public here. Everyone is spaced out, socially distant, as well as wearing masks. So I thank everybody for joining us this evening. We're going to work our way through public comment. We have a few names signed up for second public comment and one name ahead of time signed up for public comment. So I'll be giving Mr. Zahm a call shortly to take his comments over the phone. And then if anyone else would like to call in and make comment, they can do that, as well as anyone in the room can make comment any subject they would like or any subject we'll be voting on this evening. The number this evening, if you do want to call in and make comment, is the same that we've been using, which is 610-997-7963. And the process for that would be you're able to call in, state your name and address for the record, and then have a 5-minute opportunity to give comment to council. So I'm going to be giving Mr. Zahm a call at this moment. To state your name and address for the record and then give your comments to council.
Okay, thank you. My name is Greg Zahm and I live at 224 East Mercator Road in Bethlehem. I understand that tonight council will consider and vote on the resolution proposed by Councilman Reynolds and Cramsey Smith to establish a community forum for discussing policing and community relations. And it's based on language and guidelines developed by those two council members. As I pointed out at last meeting regarding their memo to Chief DeLucio requesting police policy on use of force, the two minority members of council, like that time, again, are not party to the memo and its initiative. In spite of both having been driven, you know, both of these events, these memos being driven by the minority protests across the country as well as in Bethlehem. So, I'm again asking the question, why were Ms. Negron and Mr. Cologne not consulted on the memo to the chief, and why again here were they not consulted on the long overdue initiative resolution? It seems like a concerning pattern. This resolution has the potential for significant impact. Now, why has its development not involved public input as well? Of all the most affected parties prior to a vote tonight, it concerns me that it hasn't been brought up to the entire community. In science, to make a careful hypothesis, one considers all the available information prior to the beginning of the scientific process in order to clearly understand the problem to be investigated. This concerns me here because not all of that information has been considered. As an illustration of this, the resolution as it's written boasts of Bethlehem being the first in the valley to publish its use of force guidelines. It's 2020, ladies and gentlemen. I find it embarrassing that this hadn't happened yet and that council had to request that information last month. One of my still unanswered questions from my June 3rd letter to the mayor applies here. What has the city actually done since we met about 2 years ago upon the violent death of another black man? There are claims made in the resolution, but they're not explained. It's not itemized, and that is something I asked the mayor and haven't heard yet. So I am very opposed to a vote on this resolution until public discussion takes place. And I think this demonstrates a problem with communication. So please answer those questions. Why were minority members of the council not consulted on either memo? As the resolution has a potential significant impact, why has its development not involved the public input? I really think that must happen before a vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Zhao. At this point, I'll open it up to any other remote watchers or viewers of the council meeting who'd like to make comment. You're able to call in this evening. Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hi. My name is John Irons. I live at 1204 West Market Street. Thousands of people have marched through Bethlehem demanding a defunding of the police. I'm one of them. We have spoken, we have continued to speak, and we are not being heard. The Community Engagement Initiative resolution proposed tonight does nothing to address the systemic racism and danger posed by policing in our community. We do not need discussions with police, more community programs with the police, and we don't need more community impact or community input on priorities in policing. We need to defund the police, and council should take this up immediately. To be clear, as a resident of Bethlehem, as an employee of communities and schools of the Lehigh Valley, and as a member of Lehigh Valley Stands Up, I demand an acknowledgement and apology for the historical patterns of abuse and policing. I demand that police misconduct records be made public and use of force reviews be made public. We need to create a list of all officers with open and recent use of force complaints against them and begin disciplinary action and termination immediately. We need to freeze the budget for the police department, including all new any new training and initiatives coming out from this conversation must come from existing funding. We need an indefinite hiring freeze with no new officers. We need to end the use of paid administrative leaves. All these things to defund police. We need to end the relationship between the Bethlehem Police Department and the Bethlehem School District. Those SROs need to be reassigned, and the officers that they're replacing need to be let go. We need to end qualified immunity and make officers liable for misconduct and excessive force settlements. Not the city, not taxpayer money. After we defund the police, we need to reinvest in our community. We should invest in public housing, adopt a community benefits agreement for future development. We need to reinvest money in the school district to increase counselors and restorative practices. We need to expand public health programs, especially in the midst of a pandemic. We need to introduce expanded free public transportation, develop a community-based public safety commission, and introduce resolutions to empower community councils. Without this, any conversation that we're having about the police force and the police in Bethlehem are going to just continue to go through conversations and not lead to any real action. These are real steps the council can take, and I encourage you to take them up today. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. If anyone else would like to make comment, the number to call in is 6-4-0. Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, my name is Anthony Downing. I live at 626 West Lehigh Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
And I just wanted to comment on the same that John had just commented on. Tonight, the council will be taking up a resolution proposed. Ms. Gramsci, that seeks to address the problems of police mistreatment and racial injustice in Bethlehem. I think that, you know, the proposal is intending to do a good thing, but I believe that, like many times before, we are missing the mark significantly. And I am also one of the people that have been marching in the streets demanding defunding of the police. And I will say that I believe that the things that we should be focused on currently right now, first and foremost, is to bring the people that are demanding justice in the streets into this conversation. This conversation should not be had without those folks. Also, we need to pledge to move money in the city budget away from policing and into places like public health, social services, and infrastructure. The Bethlehem Police currently receive at least 20%, maybe even more, of the city budget, and this is absolutely outrageous. We need to implement a hiring freeze for the Bethlehem Police Department. No new positions should be created. We need to end any MOUs or contracts with the school board that allows for these officers to be in public Bethlehem schools. We need to create a public registry of officers fired for police misconduct. Mandatory de-escalation training for Bethlehem Police. Make police misconduct records publicly available. We should be withholding pensions from police officers accused of misconduct, and amend the use of force policy to include clear consequences for violations of the policy, to define threat ex post facto rather than by the officer in the moment, and to require officers to intervene if they observe excessive force being used. And we've already had listening sessions in the streets. If you haven't been paying attention, all over the United States, we've been holding listening sessions for the police to hear exactly what our concerns are and to make the solution more police involvement and more police interaction and more police having the opportunity to make decisions about what happens to folks in our community. I think it's the wrong way to go. And I am going to ask that we vote no on this resolution and that we move forward into having conversations with the people who are really affected by this and start to work on solutions that are going to benefit our community. Thank you.
Does anyone else who would like to make comment? The number is...
Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Yes, I'd like to speak on the resolution.
Please state your name and address for the record and give your comments.
Yep, my name is William Strauss Jr. I live at 2131 West Broad Street in Bethlehem, PA. Yeah, so this resolution, like most reforms about our conversations involving law enforcement, lacks accountability. And that's the key piece here, is accountability in the system that is corrupt currently. Not all police are corrupt, not saying that. What I am saying is, without accountability, you don't know who is and who isn't. So, like the people who have come before me, who have spoken, and spoken very eloquently, I'm echoing their sentiments. Also, what I'd like to add is, we need to have a community review board for law enforcement that involves community members who have a voice in the policies of the police. And if those policies and items brought forth by the community review board are not taken up, then the mayor, the police chief, and the attorney for the city need to sign off on why those measures are not taken. And also, along the route of having the reporting for the law enforcement, for those who have use of force, that should follow the same protocol as other cities using the open data protocol for governments. So that's my recommendations for the addition to this resolution, and I echo the sentiments of everyone else. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. If anyone else would like to make comment, the number to do that is 610. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. If you please state your name and address for the record and give your comments.
Sure, this is Justin Parker from Black Lives Matter Valley. Actually a resident of Allentown, but on behalf of two family members here in Bethlehem City, to speak on the public portion.
Please go ahead.
Great. So I am here with the Black Lives Matter Lehigh Valley. I wanted to start off by thanking City Council and Mayor Donchess for the public portion of this meeting tonight, especially with the current COVID-19 environment. I am actually a student of Mr. Donchess's from 2001 at Allen High School in our political science class, who really actually got me my interest in politics. So I want to say hello and start off with that. I wanted to touch base real quick, because I know we only have a couple of minutes, with regards to the community engagement initiative that was brought forth. I think any time, you know, we have discussions regarding race-based inequalities, social justice, mental health, inclusionary housing, it should definitely be long-term. And while I definitely do commend the urge to create this community engagement initiative, there is one thing I would like, or a few things I'd like to highlight. One, with regards to assisting city government in setting funding and resource allocation priorities within the city of the Bethlehem Police Department, I feel like this should be a role that is expanded to assisting city government with regards to funds allocated in general to the police department, along with local community organizations, social service agencies, mental health agencies, and so on. I feel like, you know, if this organization is truly set on providing equity and equality within the city, which we believe it will, then dollars allocated to the police department should be reviewed and recommendations should be made on how or how not it will benefit the community, the city, and the residents. By putting dollars back into the people of the city of Bethlehem, their communities, personal relationships, overall, the view of the city and what it offers will thrive. We feel like the real investment here needs to be put into teachers, counselors, support for family structures, wellness resources, neighborhood centers, and substance abuse resources as well. And some of the previous sentiments, we are also pushing and asking for, you know, a conversation on interdepartment database that will house ethics complaints, use of force complaints, and complaints of racism to prevent cop hopping throughout the Lehigh Valley. And we're really just looking for accountability with regards to how this initiative is set up and if, you know, they will be holding, you know, each other, the committee, and also the police department accountable for it as well. But that was pretty much our comments. You know, we wanted to thank you for our time and we really look forward to seeing, you know, what we hope are great things to be accomplished by this initiative.
Thank you for your comments.
You.
Still taking comments at 610-997-7963. If anyone would like to make comment to council. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, my name is Emily Buck and I live at 17 East 3rd Street here in Bethlehem. I'm calling on the council to strengthen resolution number 2020 regarding the community engagement initiative, like many other callers tonight. The current resolution, in addition to focusing primarily on discussion over action, specifically calls for the police department to be included, quote, in setting funding and resource allocation priorities within the city of Bethlehem Police Department. This is about how taxpayer money gets spent, and I don't think the police should be having a voice in that right now. Building trust is great, but focusing on that is definitely a cop-out. The resolution lacks commitments to reducing budget and diverting funding currently allocated to policing to where to social services that will better serve the community, both in emergency and preventative situations. I call on our council to do better, including but not limited to an acknowledgement and apology for the historical patterns of abuse in policing, mandatory de-escalation training for police, making police misconduct records publicly available, a public registry of officers fired for misconduct, ending qualified immunity, and creating a community review board of law enforcement policies and procedures. Thank you for hearing my call.
Thank you for your comment. taking comment at 610-997-7963. City Council.
Hi, this is Anna Smith. My address is 631 Ridge Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I'm calling this evening, let me just pull up my notes, sorry, I'm pausing my speaker on my YouTube. Thanks so much for the opportunity to address Council this evening. As a lifelong resident of the city of Bethlehem, I've been proud to see our community stand up through the marches and coming out to meetings and stand up against institutionalized racism, which permeates both our immediate community and our society as a whole. And I'm pleased to see Council taking a stand and working on these issues. But as you move forward, I'd like to offer a few items for consideration this evening. Community engagement is only a part of the solution to improving policing in the city of Bethlehem, as several other callers have indicated this evening. We need to commit to simultaneously evaluating and establishing policies on citizen oversight, evaluate and develop action plans for improving department demographics, recruitment, and outreach, research and implement alternatives to policing for dealing with individuals in mental health crisis to avoid repeatedly tasering and incarcerating individuals like one of my former neighbors every time he was in a mental health crisis. And finally, through community engagement, discussion, and training, address the long history of institutionalized racism and implicit bias that has led to the current state of affairs in our country as a whole. And let's invite local experts on policing to provide guidance and feedback on potential policies. Professor Helona Oakes from Lehigh University has dedicated much of her career to researching effective community strategies for working with police departments. And although I don't know her personally, we've never met, but I know that we have a scholar of community participation in policing and its intersection with race in our midst. And so let's take advantage of that. Let's base our approaches on evidence supported by research by inviting her to the planning table. And as far as community engagement goes, I've participated in a lot of community engagement initiatives in the past, many with folks who are sitting around this table or listening in, as both a participant, a facilitator, a planner, a door knocker, a funder. And I've had the opportunity to see what works and what doesn't. And I know that saying community engagement is not sufficient to ensure that the community is truly engaged in a conversation. I truly appreciate the sentiment behind the proposed resolution, but I think we need to do more and demand more before we set the stage for a mediocre initiative with all the usual suspects. And up until a few months ago, I 100% would have been one of those usual suspects that would have been called on to participate in leading that initiative. And so a couple of my thoughts. We need to engage a single paid person to lead this initiative. As someone who has worked in the world of underpaid, overworked community folks for my entire career, I know that you need a single individual dedicated to a project as one of their primary responsibilities for something like this to truly work. And yes, this is possible and it's worth it. And I'm happy to suggest a few places that this money could come from. And this person needs to speak Spanish if they're in the city of Bethlehem. I also would suggest that this current administration should not be in the position of deciding who participates in this initiative, this community engagement initiative. With all due respect to our mayor and the administration, they do not have the contact, trust, nor awareness of our communities of color and other marginalized groups in the city to be able to create an effective structure to truly engage the broader community in effective discussions. I know this because in the 3 years that I've been a member of the Bethlehem Human Relations Commission, the entity responsible for investigating instances of discrimination in the city, they've only appointed white members repeatedly. We have one member who identifies as Latino and no Black, Asian American, Indigenous, immigrant, etc. members. A reminder that the city of Bethlehem is currently nearly 27% Latino and only 59% white, 6.5% Black, and 2.9% Asian, 2.6% mixed race. I also know this because when establishing the new community engagement initiative that's scheduled to meet next week, the only Latino person that they invited to represent the Latino community was my husband, a white passing recent immigrant from South America, when 20% of the city of Bethlehem specifically identifies as Puerto Rican. If you don't see the problem with that, anyone listening to this, then you should be educating yourself on Hispanic and Latino heritage and culture before trying to kick off an engagement initiative within a deeply Latino community. Not only should the administration not be in the position of leading the initiative, but organizations shouldn't be the primary focus either. I personally, as a former leader of an organization, can tell you stories of negative interactions with police in the city of Bethlehem. But wouldn't you rather hear from the individuals who know what it's like to have obscenity screamed at you by an officer in a language you don't understand, which was an incident I witnessed? Don't you want to hear directly from the homeless individual who was tracked down and searched by Lehigh and Bethlehem police and forced to sign a document saying he would never set foot on Lehigh's campus ever again for the simple crime of visiting campus in search of a psychology professor who could give him feedback on a peer mentoring proposal he developed for individuals with traumatic brain injuries? Don't you want to hear from him, a peer mentor for homeless individuals, about potential solutions for policing? Yes, this is hard. It requires a lot more time and effort than reaching out to the director of a nonprofit and asking them to attend a meeting. I know, I've been there and I've done it. But one of the things I've learned through my work in the community is that if you do the hard work to build trust and relationships, you truly can create an effective community engagement, and the end result is always worth it. So to conclude, I'm here this evening virtually because I believe that we're an important moment in our community's history and we have an opportunity to do something truly momentous. But unless we focus on doing it the right way, by relying on experts in our community to provide advice, supporting community members with deep neighborhood ties to lead the charge, and taking time to build relationships not with other organizations or the usual suspects, but with the very folks that are marginalized, then we're doomed to another series of community meetings where the same folks talk, the same folks listen, and nothing changes. It takes courage to yield power to folks that might come up with ideas and solutions that you don't like or that might challenge you and your place in the power structure. I know, I've been there as a white woman working in a community where the majority of my program participants didn't look like me. I often had to talk myself down from reacting defensively when folks were sharing their truth. But the heart of the matter is, for those of you who are white and middle class sitting at this table, this isn't about you and it isn't about me either. But we're in the place to use our privilege to take real, serious, progressive, boundary-pushing action, and I'm confident that this council is capable of doing it. Please think seriously about amending your resolution this evening to call for more specific, concrete action. If I can be of any assistance throughout this process, please don't hesitate to reach out. You know where to find me. Thank you so much.
Hello,
Hi, good evening. My name is Jenna Teague. I live at 940 Cherokee Street in Bethlehem. I just want to first thank everybody that called in before me, and I just want to echo everything that has already been said. This community engagement initiative is sort of performative at this point. We're already engaged. And we already have initiatives. We don't need, to have discussions or organize, the police, some of these primary functions. We don't need the police getting more involved in what's going on already. And I would like to also echo the demands of some of the other people that have already spoken, reject this resolution and instead amend it so that it meet these demands, asking that the police acknowledge and apologize for the historical patterns of abuse of policing, demand that there be mandatory de-escalation training for police, demand that police misconduct records become publicly available, demand that there be a registering police officers that have been fired for misconduct. We don't need another committee of white people talking about what people of color in our community need. We need people of color in our community actually engaged, and there's plenty of them already speaking up, already talking, and we need to be listening to them, not forming another committee to talk more about it. So, thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
If there's anyone else who'd like to make comment, the number is
610-997-7963. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, my name is Errol Worth, and I'm
Longtime resident of Bethlehem. I live on the west side at 525 6th Avenue. I'm also a professor of political science at Lehigh, and I have a colleague, Holon Oakes, who's already been mentioned by some other people, who has done extensive research on police community engagement and improvement in police community relations. My standard model is to give a political science analysis to the city council whenever they have a proposal before them. And I have to say that in light of what a lot of the other people who have commented have said, the optics of the way that this program is proceeding, the resolution that's proposed before us tonight, looks like same old in the eyes of many. I can't say that I attended any of the rallies that occurred in Bethlehem because, as for the same reason I'm not at City Hall tonight, I'm a high-risk group and sheltering at home and hoping that COVID doesn't deprive us of any more politics than it already has. But the most important thing I'd like to say is that it doesn't look like a real response to the young people who I saw marching down Broad Street from my home where I would have been with them were I not so afraid of the potential for contamination and COVID. And I think that they were looking for something more than a resolution that's been approved by two of the sort of white members of the city council. The optics here are not good. We really need something that looks like it has bubbled up from the community and from the protesters, that is responsive to their wishes, and that is not just more of the same old, as I suggested before. So I hope that the city council will incorporate all the members as co-sponsors of the resolution, and particularly the members of the minority community, who obviously have been the ones who represent the groups that are most disadvantaged by the current long-term institutional racism that pervades American society. So I hope that we can get something that has much more of the flavor and the fervor of the response to the George Floyd killing than something that just asks us to have a little more dialogue. So I know that City Council is capable of doing more and of listening to experts like my colleague Professor Oakes. And I think that that should be something that we should try to take the lead and shine on rather than simply going through the motions of naming another commission to do some more community engagement. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Taking comment at 610-997-7963. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, my name is Glenn Nelson. I live at 711 West Broad Street, and I'm calling the reason that everyone else is called tonight. I think it's time to seriously consider defunding the Bethlehem Police Department. We are in the middle of a pandemic. There's a lot of better ways we could be spending the money right now, and certainly, as a community, we've had this conversation enough times already. We don't need another conversation. We need some real action. And I think that money, honestly, would be much better spent on housing homeless in the Lehigh Valley. We're going to be starting evictions again soon. It is something that really needs to be addressed. A lot of people are out of work. A lot of people are, you know, housing insecure. I know that New Bethany just got a grant to try to alleviate some of that, but certainly $200,000 is only going to go so far to alleviate housing insecurity in the Lehigh Valley. I think it's opportunity to look at how we can move some of the money out of the police department, which has an outsized portion of the city budget, into social programs that can help some of the fallout from this pandemic. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else would like to make comments? 610-997-7963. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hello, this is Alicia Rufroth at 11 West 2nd Street in Bethlehem. I just wanted to call regarding the resolution that everyone else has been calling about. I don't believe that this resolution is what we need in Bethlehem in order to improve the lives of Black and other minority people. I believe that we need to reallocate funds from the police to community resources. I noticed that the resolution was talking about ways to change the ways that the police are engaging with our community and make it a more positive experience, but I think we don't just need to do that. We need to actually invest in removing the police from a lot of situations and instead take the money that would be allocated towards that and invest it in resources for mental health crisis interventions, for safe housing, and things like that, safe housing for everyone, rather than discussing what we could do for homelessness. I think the community, through the marches and through a lot of other things, we've already had a lot of discussions about what we can do. So, yeah, just wanted to call about that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Still accepting comment. 610-997-7963. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
President Waldron and Council, Ed Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich, calling on the Community Engagement Initiative and asking you to fight the good fight, my friends, my extended family. I'm excited very much about this Community Engagement Initiative. I see more potential here than lots of other things that have happened recently in the city for changing and improving the quality of life of people here. But I'm not sure exactly what to say about the resolution. Not sure how I feel about it. It's my usual practice to try to understand the motivation of the proposers of something like this before I make comments. I was expecting a public safety committee meeting where there'd be lots of discussion from you guys and public comment coming after that, like we had at the last public safety meeting on marijuana, in which all of you guys did get to speak, and then at the end Chairman Colon asked for public comment. So I'm uneasy about speaking about this resolution in specifics, because I haven't heard totally what the motivation is behind this exact resolution. But I am uneasy about it. It's not what I expected at all. And I guess one of the things I would say about that is that it doesn't seem to have any teeth to it. I expected more, I think, from council. I think of council as top of the pyramid in the governance of Bethlehem budget and legislation. And this resolution seems soft to me. The image that comes to mind is that council's on a deck waving to a ship that's leaving, hoping the people on the ship are going to follow the suggestions that they've made about where to travel and what to do. Where's council in this resolution? Where's council's role in setting it up the community engagement initiative. Where is council's role in membership? Those things not mentioned at all. So I'll just leave you with that image. I won't repeat things that have all these things that people have said before. You can see people wanting to talk about details in regard to the police and why the resolution has this big splash, this big kind of vague net of ideas. I'm just not sure. I'm willing to say that maybe I would be convinced after hearing the proposers of the initiative talk about this. But to me, this is really kind of not worthy of council. It doesn't have teeth. It doesn't have strength. And people are looking for that at this moment. And I thank you for very, very much. And I wish you again to fight the good fight. Thank you again.
Thank you. Still accepting comments, 610-997-7963. Still also have three names signed up for second public comment that I will reach out to as well. And I'll do that at this point, starting with Maddie Fall.
That's actually us.
Glad you're here. Pardon me. Speaking of the mic. Sure, if you'd like to come down and give your comment.
Hi, my name is Maddie Fall. Do I need to state my address too?
We do have it here.
Okay. I'm a Bethlehem resident. I'm 20 years old. I graduated from Liberty High School and Northampton Community College. I'm also an activist and organizer with Students for Abolition, and we actually did the first protest in Bethlehem and another. So I'm here to express my disappointment in the lack of action taken on behalf of Bethlehem officials. The community engagement initiative is problematic in even the first sentence when you decided to thank the police department and the mayor in facilitating a peaceful protest and not the black members of the community who actually organized it. This entire document just seems like an effort to appease us and instead of taking necessary action. Have you consulted black people in the creating of this coalition? Because even the only non-white members on this city council haven't been consulted. Who are you to decide that this city has made significant advancement in racial issues as all of you that sit in here today are white? You, as white and non-black members of this city, do not get to decide that you've progressed in racial and social justice matters. In this document, you mentioned protesters being in cooperation with the police. It seems that the entire message of these protests is lost on you. We are actually protesting the very existence of the police and the carceral state and all related racist systems. How do you improve a system that is adversarial in nature, that was initially designed to be them versus us? There needs to be a complete dismantling of policing as it stands, and a complete investment in the community needs and services in order to actually address the root problem. With that being said, we ask you to defund the police and invest significantly in our community and the needs of black and other minority members. You need to read Aid to Abolition and consult qualified black members of this community in forming such a coalition and frankly rewrite the entire thing. It has no substance. It was very vague and seems entirely like a piece to silence us and just keep us quiet and to just say that you said or to say that you are doing something, which is not the case. You need to properly place your thanks and credit where it is due, and that is not to the officials or the police department of this city, but the young black and minority members of this community who are actually affected, live it, experience it, and are a part of this every day and are actually the ones that are bringing about change and starting these dialogues. As a resident of Bethlehem, I'm demanding a public discussion so the community can help construct a city we all love before a resolution is voted on. And I ask you not to pass this. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. The next name on this list is Mike Henriquez.
Hi.
Hello, Bethlehem City Council. I am Mike Enriquez. I am a co-founder of Students for Abolition Lehigh Valley. I am a genderqueer Latinx who has been living in Bethlehem for 16 years. Thank you for your voluntary service and allowing an open floor in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. I am here to share my extreme confusion and dissatisfaction with the Bethlehem Community Engagement Initiative. In the initiative, the City Council states, our community has come together to grieve, talk, mobilize, and peacefully protest racial injustice in cooperation with our police department. The question I pose is, have you reached out to the organizers of the Black Lives Matter protests and their goal for protesting? I'm guessing not, due to Maddie and I have been the first protesters to hold a protest here in the Lehigh Valley, and we have not heard anything. At these protests, everybody has discussed aid to abolition, cutting ties with Bethlehem Police Department in multiple facilities and programs, and allocating funds towards community-based services. Noting that the only two POC Latinx members of the City Council were not consulted in constructing the community engagement initiatives, are you actually listening to Black and POC community demands? The speeches and demands that are being discussed at these protests. Are you listening to the community and the Black and people of color residents that will be dealing with the consequences of this initiative? Furthermore, the initiative notes, Bethlehem City Council believes we must and can do everything as a city to build stronger bridges and trust between our police department and our community that are working together. We can avail ourselves of this opportunity to work collaboratively and self-reflect to improve the relationship between our police department and our diverse ethnic and racial communities that together make up the city that we love. To make up the city that we love, why are you not consulting the Latinx members of the City Council? Are you consulting and organizing with Black organizers, leaders, etc., about constructing a city we all can love? Also, what do you believe that us, the community, needs to do to help better our relationship with the police? Do you believe a relationship with the police will eradicate systemic racism or just heal a symptom of injustice? We won't be forming relationships with the police. We will be forming relationships simply with workers in uniforms. You're asking the community to form a relationship with an evil, inanimate system that wasn't created to serve Black or people of color. As a resident of Bethlehem, I am demanding a public discussion so the community can help construct the city we all love before the resolution is voted on. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is Julie Bradley here?
Hi, I'm Julie Bradley. You have my address, right?
Yes.
So I'm also a Liberty graduate. I'm now a senior at Vassar College. So what this resolution seemed like to us who have been organizing for a couple weeks now, was an attempt to pacify the movement towards defunding the police. We are not asking for a stronger relationship between the cops and the community. We're asking for a stronger community. We need you now to not just propose action such as forming a coalition to start a conversation. These conversations have been had for decades by Black activists, by Black scholars, by Black abolitionists. You need to defund the police. You need to hire transformative justice workers, restorative justice workers. You need to address mental and physical health in schools. And if you do not address these issues now, this is going to be something that you come back with decades in the future. And many, many more families in this community will be let down by these oppressive systems. You need to make a concerted effort to amplify Black voices. I don't support the passing of this resolution. I think there needs to be direct action, such as defunding the police, making a promise to defund the police, making plans to defund the police, and we need to see that happening. The public needs to be a part of that. My peers have said before, these conversations have been had. There are solutions already proposed, and you're simply not listening. If you've been doing the work to understand systemic racism, the history of policing, the prison industrial complex, and all related issues, you'd not be thanking the police and proposing roundabout solutions that disregard the suggestions of Black activists. You would be listening to the conversations that are already being had, and you would that are that have happened and will happen regardless of the existence of a coalition. So I don't support the passing of this resolution. I support concrete plans to defund the Bethlehem Police Department, cut ties between the school district and the police department, and allocate funds to our school system, our healthcare system, mental health services, homelessness, the like. We need more than a voice because we've had these conversations. We need money, frankly. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else in the attendance this evening who'd like to make comment?
Hi, my name is Zoe Hooper. I live at 1360 Beaufort Avenue of Bethlehem. I am also a Liberty graduate. I'm speaking on behalf of the Community Engagement Initiative, which seems to be a band-aid of a solution to a much bigger issue. I believe we need to defund the Bethlehem Police Department and redistribute these funds to public services such as public health, social services, schools, and etc. I have firsthand witnessed the disparity in treatment of Black and people of color students through the Bethlehem Area School District. I believe it would be beneficial to the community to redistribute police funding to the public schools. Public schools should institute mental health professionals and counselors for the students. This would be a preventative resource for troubled students to de-escalate violence in the school community, making the need for school officers obsolete. Instead of resorting to the 8 can't wait, you need to refer to the 8 to abolition. Number 6 goes into depth of the investing into community. As a resident of Bethlehem, I am demanding a public discussion so the community can help construct a city we all love before the resolution is voted on. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else in attendance? Go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Eric Statz. I live at 523 East 5th Street in Bethlehem. I'm a member of Lehigh Valley DSA's Police and Prison Abolition Working Group, and I think you all need to listen to these students because they put together like these whole protests basically by themselves with just a little bit of help from local activists, like local experienced activists older. Yeah, and I think a lot of people talked about proposed solutions or and the need to defund police. I want to talk about what this community engagement initiative actually is. It's a public relations initiative for the Bethlehem Police Department. That's all it is. It's not trying to change anything. It's trying to appease activists and make the police department look good. Under no circumstances do protesters actually like when there's a lot of cops at protests. It doesn't make us feel safe. The 8 Can't Wait initiative, even on their own website now, they have like an apology for bad data science and thing, just taking the steam out of real abolitionist movements, like 8toabolition.com, if you want to look at that source. It's well-sourced, explains everything that's wrong with the 8 Can't Wait campaign. Basically, cop-sponsored pizza parties aren't gonna appease us. Like, that's basically what this is. It's a joke. And that's all I gotta say. Thanks.
Thank you for your comment. Is there anyone else in the room who'd like to make comment? Yes.
Hi, my name is Anissa Amatol-Tadir. I'm a recent Moravian graduate, and I was a resident of Bethlehem City up until March when I had to move back home in the Valley of Easton for COVID-19. I'm up here speaking for, I did have the opportunity to work for Students of Abolition. I'm also part of Women of Justice, which is a group of young women from the Lehigh Valley, and we also organize protest as well in peaceful demonstrations. I'm coming up here because as someone a part of the Lehigh Valley and friends of the Lehigh Valley, the resolution seemed much like a band-aid. And when I attended the last Bethlehem protest, there was a lot of condescending nature from the Bethlehem Police Department and how they spoke to us and saying that we are on your side, but yet it seems to be let's talk about how we can get along rather than why is 20% of your budget going towards the police and not going towards education. We should be looking into mental health services, education, social services, Boys and Girls Club funding, different areas for the community to become better and not just trying to make everyone get along so you can continue to police us. I find it very disheartening, and the same thing goes for where I currently live now, to see that there's a lack of diversity within the community council. Someone who attended Meridian College and graduated recently and attended Northampton County Community College and graduated 2 years ago, there was an issue with Bethlehem Police Department being called every second or every night on students of color and creating issue among them, even in the way that they would send emails to us describing students of color and making them out in a negative light. I think that this resolution is not that. It is not a resolution and you are not listening but having blinders on and trying to give us something that maybe we'll take into consideration and think that it's good. We are not ignorant. We know exactly what's going on and we are here to speak up against it. I also find it very offensive that as my peers are speaking about something that is very important, that two of the most important people so-called in the room are on their cell phones. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to make comment this evening? I'm going to open it back up for last call for remote listeners.
Hello,
Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, my name is Alex from the street.
If you're able to, I'm sorry, if you're able to mute your YouTube stream, we're getting some background noise.
Pretty good.
Yes, and if you could give us your name and address again, please.
My name's Alex Cologne. I'm at 1206 Rhombus Street.
Thank you, Alex.
Right.
Go ahead.
And I'd first like to thank the council and everyone here for the opportunity to speak today. I'd like to thank everyone before me for standing up and speaking up as a reminder that that's the only way we're going to see change. I will echo just about everyone else in our push as a community to reallocate funds and essentially defund the police. But I would like to bring some focus to why we're here in the first place. After speaking with many, many different residents of many different views, it seems to be the common denominator here is fear. We cannot continue to let fear drive our policies, and frankly, that's what this is. The way we push, police to solve our issues as a society just points to the fact that we are ignoring the problems that we could be solving. The way we police the community currently is a reactive mindset. And I wholeheartedly believe as a community we are ready to start facing these issues from a proactive mindset. And that includes looking at the issues and the data that is very clearly available and presented. Getting to these root issues, whether it's mental health and homelessness or all of the others, we cannot continue to fund police in response to our failure as a society and our failure as a community for all of these individuals who have fallen. Again, the way we approach everything is our answer to everything that we fear, whether it's breaking laws or violence or everything else, you continue to answer with police. Police are not the answer to our fears. The answer is to uproot these issues from the root causes and address it from the very root, not to continue acting in a reactive mindset the way we are now. So I fully support defunding the police, and I wholeheartedly believe we have everything we need to make that happen today and create a more successful, involved, and diverse community moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Still accepting comment at 610-997-7963. If anyone would like to make comment to City Council who has not had the opportunity to do so yet, this will be your last opportunity to make comment to council this evening at 610-997-7963. no additional comments, we will proceed with our agenda this evening. Is there any old business for members of council? None. Moving to communications, communication 6A.
A memorandum and proposed resolution from Councilman Reynolds and Councilwoman Cramsey Smith proposing the creation of a citywide community engagement initiative to include a broad coalition of residents, police officers, representatives from our schools, social justice and community organizations, medical organizations, and other stakeholders, individuals, and entities.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Kiko Sumta Kramer, Principal, WRT Design, for professional services related to the South New Street Streetscape Enhancement Project. The term of the contract runs through December 31st, 2020. The cost is $65,820. No renewals are anticipated.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
Zoning text amendment petition on behalf of Bethlehem Manor Village LLC requesting an amendment to section 130501B of the city zoning ordinance to allow for grocery store use in the institutional zoning district. The request was made in connection with the potential construction of a grocery store at 1838 Center Street in the city of Bethlehem.
I will accept the motion and a second to schedule a public hearing of the proposed zoning text amendment for Tuesday, September 1st, 2020 at 7 p.m. in Town Hall. Seeking a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Reynolds.
Second.
Second by Ms. Negron. If the clerk would please call the roll on the motion.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. A public hearing has been scheduled for Tuesday, September 1st, 2020 at 7 p.m. in Town Hall. This zoning text amendment petition will be referred to the City Planning Commission and the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission for review and comment before our public hearing. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Arbor Pro Inc. for professional services related to development of an urban forestry GIS database. The term of the contract runs 8 weeks from the notice to proceed. The cost is $44,250 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Brendan Stanton, Inc., TA, BSI Electrical Contractors for electrical construction work related to the wastewater treatment plant bar screen and detritus replacement. The term of the contract runs 390 days from the notice to proceed. The contract price is $318,756.25. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Tri-Vet Contracting Company, Inc. for work related to the Bethlehem Dog Kennel General Construction. The term of the contract runs 180 days from the notice to proceed. The cost is $59,340 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, requesting Council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records as listed in the exhibit attached to the proposed resolution. The directors reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records fall within categories where destruction is permitted.
The resolution will be placed on the July 21st agenda. Communication 6H.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Clark Contractors, Inc. for work related to park bathroom upgrades. The estimated completion date is September 30th, 2020. The cost is $111,750.43. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10G is on the agenda. Communication 6I.
A memorandum from Michael Brett, Housing and Community Development Administrator, stating that the Department of Community and Economic Development is recommending a substantial amendment to the 2019 Community Development Block Grant Action Plan to incorporate the Exterior Improvement Loan Program as an additional activity.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda. Communication 6J.
A memorandum from Councilman Reynolds with a proposed resolution urging our state legislators to repeal and amend the 2017 fireworks law to address the widespread fireworks nuisance in the city, and ask the mayor and his administration to investigate possible solutions to this nuisance.
Resolution 10J is on the agenda, Communication 6K.
A memorandum for Mayor Donchess with a proposed resolution urging our state legislatures to repeal the 2017 fireworks law in connection with the serious fireworks nuisance in the city.
Resolution 10K is on the agenda. Is that right? I don't have that in my notes.
Correct. 10K is the next resolution.
Reports. I have no reports this evening. Mr. Evans.
Thank you, President Waldron. I have two administrative orders and seven notes from the mayor to present to the council tonight. First of all, I'll begin with administrative order number 20. I hereby reappoint Allison Pelores, 3809 Route 378, Bethlehem, PA 18015, to the Sister City Commission. This appointment is effective through July 2023.
Discussion? The clerk will please call the roll.
The resolution was sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
Thank you. Who's voting first?
Mr. Callahan.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Ministry of Order number 21, I hereby reappoint Ellen C. Barron, 144 West Langhorne Avenue, Bethlehem, PA 18017, to the Sister City Commission. This appointment is effective through October 2023.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. The notes. The first one, I'll begin with an update from our health director, Kristen Wendrick. For the city of Bethlehem, it's a report with regard to COVID. 76 deaths are now accumulated throughout the city, as well as 1,076 positive cases. Of note, on number two, MSN.com listed Bethlehem as one of the best cities to retire. That was recently noted at MSN.com. You want to note that. Number three, Chief DeLuzio was with us this evening. We'll give a short summary of the 2019 police report. Has been provided to council and will be on the webpage posted in the morning. Number four, today there was a press release outlining the plans for the Rose Garden. This is something that's had great support from council when we go back to the budget hearings of last year. The total project is a $400,000 project. To date, council has approved in the budget $100,000, $50,000 through a bond, $50,000 through cash, and that was matched through a state grant. So the plans for that garden were outlined in the press release. We'd also like to thank the volunteers that have been assisting with renovating the Rose Garden. There's a lot of work. It's a large area, as well as members of council were there helping out. So we want to thank you for that and give you that note about the Rose Garden. Number five, the mayor supports both resolutions with regard to fireworks this evening. The one submitted from the administration is from the PML, the Pennsylvania Municipal League. It was from the order of the mayors, and they're lobbying in that resolution for repeal of the state law that allows the sale and purchase of fireworks inside the state. Note number six, our community development department released a plan for rental assistance. It's a $200,000 plan. They're now working with New Bethany Ministries and Lehigh Valley Regional Homeless Board to implement that plan. And lastly, number seven, the mayor has been working hard and has developed a community advisory board with the NAACP. He's had numerous meetings with officials of the NAACP, led by Esther Lee, the longtime leader of the group. This advisory board is looking at 21 members at this time from across the community, from within the ministry, education, from levels of the state. It involves youth as well as council. We're looking for support across the city. There will be a number of meetings that will meet monthly. It's still in infancy stages. They'll tackle a number of issues throughout the summer and coming weeks and months and into the years regarding police matters, the use of force policies, education, homelessness, anything from healthcare to racism, housing, opioid issues, among others. The mayor will have much more on this in the coming days and weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Moving on to ordinances for final passage. One ordinance this evening, Ordinance 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, amending Article 121 of the City of Bethlehem Codified Ordinances related to finance. Bill 14-2020 is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Groan?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New ordinances, Ordinance 9A.
This will be shorter than the last one, but not short. An ordinance of the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Lehigh, and Northampton Counties, Pennsylvania, authorizing and directing the issuance of general obligation bonds, series of 2020, in the maximum aggregate principal amount of $8,500,000. Providing the proceeds of the 2020 bonds shall be applied to carry out the refunding of the guaranteed revenue note series of 2012 pursuant to a refunding program. Determining that the sale of the bonds shall be a private sale under the Act, and determining that the bonds shall be non-electoral debt of the city. Fixing the interest payment dates, denominations, and registration transfer and exchange privileges of the bonds, and providing for book entry bonds. Setting forth the maturity dates, principal maturities, and current interest rates of the bonds. Establishing the redemption provisions of the bonds, accepting a bid for purchase of the bonds, and authorizing execution of the bond purchase agreement, designating a paying agent and registrar, designating a place and method of payment of the bonds and interest thereon, and making certain covenants with respect to the tax-free status of the 2020 bonds. Covenanting to pay the principal and interest of the bonds, and pledging the full faith, credit, and taxing power of the city to such purpose, providing for the circumstances under which the ordinance may be amended or modified, providing for the terms, conditions, and covenants with respect to the bond insurer, if any, for the bonds, authorizing and directing specified officers of the city to do and perform certain specified, required, or appropriate acts, declaring that the debt to be incurred is within the limitation imposed by the Act, incurring such debt by the city, authorizing and directing proper officers of the city to deliver the bonds upon execution and authentication thereof, upon receipt of proper payment of the balance due therefor, and only after specified approval, as required of the Department of Community and Economic Development of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, providing for compliance with Securities and Exchange Commission Rule 15C212, covenanting to pay over at settlement sufficient monies to provide for the payment of the 2012 note, in accordance with the refunding program, providing for the issuance of irrevocable instructions to the paying agent for the prior note to call said prior note for redemption, providing for the severability of provisions of the ordinance, providing for repeal of all ordinances or parts of ordinances so far as the same shall be inconsistent, providing when the ordinance shall become effective. Bill 16-2020 is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Groan?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 17-2020 is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Mr. Negron, or Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 Community Development Block Grant Budget. Bill 18-2020 is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolutions for consideration this evening. Resolution 10A.
Resolved that the City Council of the City of Bethlehem urges the mayor and his administration to collaborate with the City of Bethlehem Police Department to create a public space and forum for the long-term discussion of issues surrounding systemic racism, discrimination, race-based inequities, social justice, mental health, addiction, poverty eradication, inclusionary housing, education, and fair policing practices. The community engagement initiative might include and or interface with individuals or entities that the mayor and his administration thinks appropriate, such as citizens, human service organizations, the medical community, school leaders, social justice organizations, police officers, and the police department leaders. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Mr. Reynolds?
Let me start out. I first want to thank everybody for coming out today and everything that was said, and I agree with a lot of it. My full-time job, because city council is part-time, is I teach at Allen High School. And I know that the best classes I've ever taught and the classes where I feel that the most learning goes on are the ones where there is the most amount of discomfort, the most amount of disagreement, the most amount of the class going in a direction that maybe wasn't exactly what people thought about that it was going to go at the beginning. What is in front of us here is really a concept. I attended and I marched in every one of the rallies that have gone on in Bethlehem in the last several weeks, and the energy and the action there has been unbelievable. And the people in this room do deserve a lot of credit for that, a ton of credit, as did a lot of the speakers. What I was trying to do here, and what I'm still trying to do, is trying to find a public, open structure by which that energy is able to continue. This is not about me saying I have the solutions. This is not about me saying I think we should do A, B, and C. I, of course, have my ideas, but I kept the resolution vague for that exact reason. And it's one of those catch-22s that if you put in everything that you think you want to do and everything that I think needs to be in there, it would be very easy for people to come back and say, you haven't had public conversation, you haven't listened to people, you haven't heard from people. As will be explained in a little bit, there has been a lot of attempt to try to get a public safety committee meeting together. When I first came up with this idea over a month ago, I thought that the perfect place to do it was at Liberty High School. I reached out to Dr. Roy. I wanted a public spot. Obviously, we are limited here as far as how many people can get in here. Trying to work out having a public safe meeting during the pandemic, as it will be explained in a little bit, has been impossible. So then it became a situation where we were looking at having a public safety committee meeting maybe at the end of August or the beginning of September. And that was unacceptable to me to do nothing until then. Because of the energy, because of the amount of feedback that I've received, both at the rallies and through phone calls and communications and neighbors, I didn't want to just say like, hey, we're going to consider this in September. I felt that was unfair. And what is in front of us here, and what I had put together with Councilwoman Gramsci Smith, and I'm open to changes, and like I said, I agree with a lot of what people had said. Multiple callers referenced Professor Oakes over at Lehigh. I had an hour and a half conversation with her last Monday or Tuesday, and she's exactly the type of person that has come up with these, this research that needs to be at the central kind of focus of what we're looking at going forward. This, in order for this to work, it can't just be a resolution that we're going to pass. I disagree with the idea that anything that, you know, I'm involved in is ever a Band-Aid, and I think that my record of public service shows that I don't usually get involved in things that I don't think aren't going to lead to real change. But this is about being productive, it's about being uncomfortable, it's about being energetic, and it's about creating real change. And it's not about creating real change in, you know, that doesn't happen in 24 hours. But the energy that we have in the city about making change and taking the way we view authority and the way we view culture and the way we view historic systemic racism does extend beyond the police department. Yes, it involves police, but it also involves schools, it also involves human services, it involves zoning codes, it involves where people send their kids to school, how you draw bus lines, where you put bus routes, all of those things. I believe all of those things need to be involved in the same conversation. And that has come from conversations I've had with other people. But those are my personal beliefs. The reason why I came up with this idea to come forward now was to start the conversation. And the structure is designed to create public pressure, such as been brought to us tonight, to create change within the city and within our police department. It is important that we get our police officers and we get the city of Bethlehem elected officials, city council people, every organization, every person that, as many speakers have said, have not had the opportunity in the ear of the mayor, in the ear of the police department, in the ear of city council. And like, it's a situation where I'm trying to create something here that will allow for this permanent access for these conversations and these actions and these change. Yes, we need people in the police department to run this effectively. Yes, we need to look at how we allocate resources within our police department. I've had this conversation with the chief. I've had this conversation with almost every member of city council. What I wanted to do here was create an organic structure that does not have a lot of direction, that doesn't say, you know, no votes, no official members, but it's about transparency and it's about accountability. I've been in city council for a while, and for a long time, we get reports, we get budgets, but there isn't a lot of conversation about how do we utilize our resources within the public safety departments. Been doing a lot of research, looking around throughout the country about how other cities and other communities are trying to realize. Like I said, I work at Allen High School. If we have issues at Allen High School, it's not just hire more teachers. We have school psychologists, we have guidance counselors, we have homeschool visitors, we have parent liaisons. And that's what I believe our police department needs to look at. We need to look like a department that understands that not every police call needs to be a police officer. I'm in agreement 110%. I do think that one of the things that this will allow for, especially in the short term, before we can have public safety committee meetings and before we can necessarily come up with every line that we want to include a resolution, is that our community deserves to understand next week or as soon as possible, what de-escalation forces do we use? What de-escalation training do we have? How do we utilize use of force? People have absolutely 100% questions about that, and we should have the opportunity to hear from our police department about what we currently use. It's a situation where I honestly believe that we need to allow for conversation from all different corners of this city. What I was foreseeing, and I'm certainly open to change, because like I said, I was just trying to create a space, not an agenda, not a do this, this, and this, but a space that absolutely would have 1 month where we are hearing from whatever organization wants to, as far as interaction with our police department, whether or not it's our Black Lives Matter organizations at our schools, in our community, whether or not it's anti-poverty organizations, whether or not it's social justice organizations. People deserve to have a voice, and it's important that the right people are in that room to hear about those topics. And it's not just us. And I couldn't agree more with a couple of the callers that say a lot of times when we have these conversations, it's the same people. It's the same organizations. It's the same people that are sitting around the table that do look like me. And that is unacceptable. I completely agree with that. And what I'm trying to do here is create a permanent structure that will change the face of that conversation going forward. So whether or not it's next month or the month after, it's not a question of, or do we need to find a seat at the table? But rather it's like, what is it that we're talking about this week or next week having to do with these issues that didn't happen overnight? And I completely agree that we're living in 2020. I said this at the last meeting. And some of the numbers people have talked about before, about how the percentage of African Americans in the city of Bethlehem is like 6-7%. A lot of that goes back to the fact that Bethlehem Steel wouldn't hire African Americans. They wouldn't do it. And that was 60, 70, 80, 90 years ago. And the legacy of that has been that our African American community in Bethlehem has not been supported the way that other communities have been. And it does need to be said, and it needs to be acknowledged, and we need to connect those. I teach history, I teach government, I teach psychology. We need to draw those lines between what happened 400 years ago, 300 years ago, 200 years ago, 100 years ago, and talk about what we need to do today. And I talk about it every day with my students. It's what happens all the time. And like I said, I will finish by saying this. It's like what this was to me was an opportunity just to create that space. And sometimes the way these meetings are structured, as they should be, is people have an opportunity to speak. And if I just read this piece of paper, I'd been like, there aren't any details in here. I don't know exactly what is supposed to happen here. And it was designed that way. And I am always open to always meeting with anybody, having any conversation, but any ideas about what we need to do. And I don't always agree with people, but that's not the way this is supposed to work. But it was never about we need to do this, this, and this, because I felt that that would be disrespectful to people that have other ideas. The best thing we can do is give people that have ideas about what we need to do to change access to power and a voice in being able to have these conversations. And this is an opportunity, and it's an opportunity for all of us to create real change. But it only happens if we get buy-in from the city and if we get buy-in from the community. And I will be the first person to say that this piece of paper doesn't mean anything. The only way it means something is if we've made progress a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, or 2 years from now. And forever going on with these issues. So that's where I was coming from. Once again, I agree with much of what was said. I have the same goals in a lot of ways that a lot of what has been said today. And that was kind of my idea here behind my my resolution and today. And I think this might be a good time, Mr. Waldron, if somebody might be able to explain kind of the mechanics behind the Public Safety Committee meeting.
Sure. I'd be happy to do that. I know Ms. Cranty Smith, as the co-sponsor of this, also wants to make comment. She has to cut out of our meeting a little bit early this evening, so I wanted to give her that opportunity to make comment on the resolution, and then I'd be happy to have a larger discussion about the Public Safety Committee meeting that's happening with Mr. Colon. Ms. Cranty Smith?
Thank you. And I do want to reiterate what Mr. Reynolds said. I do want to thank everyone who came out and who called in today to give input on this community engagement initiative. I also agree with many of the things that you said. And I think that there's some misconception about what our vision was with this initiative. I also attended all the rallies and marches in the city after the murder of George Floyd, and it was after one of the rallies that I saw Mr. Reynolds there, and I was thinking, oh, we need to give the citizens of this city a voice beyond the rallies. We need to give them a legitimate voice where they can come to the table and affect change within our city regarding the police department. And that's when, in my mind, I thought of the Community Engagement Initiative. I didn't think that I was going to write what it was going to entail, nor Mr. Reynolds. My thought is it's a voice and it's a mechanism for the citizens of this city. They're the ones that are going to navigate this process. Our plan was to have a public safety committee meeting open to the public. Unfortunately, this virus seems to be getting the better of us, and it's very logistically challenging to try to have a public meeting. So I'm hoping that we can have the virtual meeting at some point, because I think it is imperative that we do something sooner than later. This initiative is not the be-all and end-all. It is only a step, and I feel it is imperative that we take some steps toward giving the people of this community a voice to look at, or its police department, and look at systemic racism overall. I've had almost 40 years of experience in working with mental health, drug and alcohol, victims of sexual abuse, victims of domestic violence, and the majority of the people and students I have worked with have and are people of color, and I've learned a great deal from them. I certainly own my white privilege, so I don't know everything. I can speak to the experiences that my students and clients and friends of color speak to, but I have tried to open my mind. Even in looking at this initiative, I have solicited the input of many of my friends who are black, who are citizens of Bethlehem, lifelong citizens, and who have been involved in the NAACP at the national level for many, many, many years. So I have certainly tried to give some some regard to the people of color and what they feel is going to be important. I hope that we get support for this initiative because, again, we need to do something. And this is a vehicle that the citizens can come and express their concerns, and we can work together to try to make changes that are necessary within our police department and to address systemic racism in all areas, inclusionary housing, education, economic disparities, you name it. Again, I just want to say thank you, and I hope everyone will support this initiative, this resolution. Again, even though I do have white privilege, I will say I have and will continue to advocate for people of color, people living in poverty, people that have mental illness, addictions, you name it. I will continue to advocate till the day I die, and I hope that people will work together with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cramsey-Smith. At this point, I kind of wanted to turn the conversation to what Mr. Reynolds was talking about as far as the Public Safety Committee meeting that's been much talked and rumored about. Mr. Colon is the chair of the Public Safety Committee, which our intention was to have a meeting as soon as possible at Liberty High School, as Mr. Reynolds said, which is a much larger venue. If you look at the space of this room, I think it can hold 130 people by fire code. Right now we have something like 15 people in here, and I think 20 would be a maximum, and then we'd start to be violating social distancing rules set by the state. So even within a room of a capacity of 130, you could have to take a small fraction of what that is to safely run a meeting and be respectful and follow the state guidelines. But I wanted to turn over to Mr. Colon to talk a bit about that, and we'll probably also include Mr. Bodoni, our clerk, who's been involved in those discussions as well, and the meetings at Liberty, as well as the meetings that have happened here in City Hall too. Mr. Colon.
Thank you, President Waldron. I just wanted to address the Public Safety Committee meeting, which we've obviously been trying to schedule for a couple weeks now. I thank Mr. Bodoni for his work during the day and helping trying to schedule this. And let me just start by saying, if it weren't for COVID-19 and these restrictions that have been put on council and just all of us as a community and how we gather and what the regulations are, that I'm confident we could have had this committee meeting already. I think it's very important to have this review of our use of force policy for the police department and the formation of this community engagement initiative at committee and in public setting. So Mr. Reynolds had reached out to me, and I appreciated him reaching out to me a few weeks ago with the suggestion of Liberty High School. I, like all of us, are familiar with Liberty, thought the auditorium would be an ideal place to have the meeting. As President Waldron had alluded to, just looking around Town Hall, it's really not the right kind of setting or forum to have a meeting like that, where we're expecting a large crowd, and I'd like to see a large crowd, but I'd also like to see everyone who wants to attend be able to attend. And with all the energy that's been behind the recent protests and the number of people coming out, one of the initial questions was this 250 person limit. I mean, the high school itself had reached out to the city about having some graduation type ceremonies that they weren't able to have, and just trying to respect that, the state mandate to keep in public gatherings to 250 people when the potential is there to have more than 250 people. When we had the conversation, Mr. Bodoni, Mr. Waldron, some members of city administration and I, of how do we limit those numbers. And really, when you look at a 250 person max, the members of council, the clerk's office, and other city support, now you're bringing that number already from 250 down to 230 or so. And is it really a public meeting? If how do you control, you know, who gets to come into the meeting and who doesn't? Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith had reached out to me earlier about the potential for having a virtual Public Safety Committee meeting, which I'm in support of. My hesitation with that, and nothing's going to be perfect because of the constraints we have to follow due to COVID-19, is just, again, that digital divide. If we have it in a virtual type forum where we could have people sign into a Zoom or GoMeeting type of application where people can give their comment, give their feedback, and everyone who wants to be an active participant has that opportunity. Do I think some of it's going to be lost if we do it virtually? Yes. I'm someone who personally favors doing things in person. But that being said, I physically haven't been to a city council meeting in months due to COVID-19. So I think the situation is unique. I'm open to feedback from members of council. I know every member of council has expressed interest in wanting to be in attendance at the committee meeting, whether they're a member of the committee or not. And I want to make it as accessible to members of the public as possible. And to Mr. Reynolds' point earlier, I don't want this to be something that we're getting into September necessarily and looking at, but seeing what's the best way to have this meeting and capture the comments and attendance by as many people in the community as possible. Because again, having it there at Town Hall and open to the public, that's immediately going to disqualify Town Hall as a site. And then looking at Liberty High School, how do we have this public meeting where, again, we're limiting who can come in, who can observe, who can comment, and how do we, even creating a hybrid of the two, where 250 are in attendance, and then we have the virtual components. How do we manage that 250 person attendance? That's kind of the backstory behind it.
Thank you, Mr. Clone. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into a public meeting. Ms. Cranchy Smith, if you could stay muted, please. We're having some background noise there. Thank you. There's a lot that goes into a meeting when we are at our home court, if you will. In this room, we have a lot more control over how things go with our technology here within this room, even to the point right now, there's the issue we've been having here with some of the background noise. So it's a very imperfect system. And for something that is as important as a conversations that we're going to be having in the near future regarding policing and public safety in the city, I'm hesitant to rely on that infrastructure, especially if we go to another venue where we don't have as much control and won't be able to guarantee the level of accessibility for folks who are online and want to listen in or make comment remotely. It's my intention, at least with city council meetings, to have as much interaction and allow for as much comment as possible until we get to a point where people start to feel comfortable coming back into this room, even though we are starting to open up a little bit. Clearly, we're not at the point where we can have full open meetings in this room or at Liberty. So our restriction that we really got hung up on was that 250 number. Do we think we'll have more than 250 people? Possibly. I mean, it could be a substantial amount less if people don't feel comfortable coming in and they want to watch remotely. I think that would be encouraged, but I think to Mr. Clone's point, there is a lot lost on having a remote meeting versus an in-person meeting. I think a lot of the body language can be lost, as well as some of the nonverbal cues, clearly, and some of the energy is definitely not translated as well when it's over the computer. So for that point, we really wanted to find a way to have an in-person meeting. And with that restriction of 250 people, we talked through many different scenarios of how we could get to that, of possibly having a sign-up sheet ahead of time, or whichever way we came to, people were going to be excluded, and we didn't want to do that. We didn't think that was fair. So we temporarily are putting the Public Safety Committee meeting on hold until we can find a workaround, because it wasn't just about that 250 number, it was also about making sure people are maintaining social distancing, making sure people are wearing masks when they're in Liberty High School. Then there was also the issue of how do we physically get people into the building so that they're keeping their space, as well as simple things like disinfecting the building afterwards or using the restrooms, all things that you may not think about being an issue, but all those things adding up were enough to make us feel that it wasn't safe or prudent to move forward with scheduling a meeting until we had more guidance from the state and the school district, and we had a better vision of what COVID was going to be doing in the next couple months in Bethlehem. So by no means are we trying to avoid this meeting, and I think everyone would agree, if it wasn't for this pandemic that we're in right now, we would have had this public safety committee meeting before tonight's council meeting, and we would have been able to have a larger conversation in person, and likely we probably still would have done that meeting at Liberty High School in order to get as many people on site and be part of that conversation as we'd like to. So I just wanted to turn to members of council on that public safety committee meeting, and then we'll get back to the resolution at hand if they had any other questions or comments. Mr. Reynolds?
Let me just start by saying once again is that I think that as far as just a couple other piece of information, one is like our budget is generally discussed in November and December. That's like our budget time. Part of the reason why I didn't want to wait to do this resolution was because the biggest part of this, in my mind, is creating the public pressure on the city to change. And I think those public conversations have been going on, but they need to be going on, they need to continue to be going on, and they need to at some point intersect with city government. So if we waited until 2 months from now, or maybe even longer, who knows about the public access for Liberty High School once school starts? Or who knows about using Lehigh or Moravian or anywhere else that allows for 250 people if that continues as the thing. So part of the reason why I thought it was a good idea just to bring the concept forward, just to bring the idea forward, was because of that amount of uncertainty and the fact that potential changes to our budget, which would occur in meetings in November and December, shouldn't then start in October. Those conversations should start as soon as possible. But in order to do that, we need to somehow start some type of structural conversation within the city. So I just wanted to say that as well. Thank you.
Any other members of council have any comments on the public safety meeting specifically, and then we'll transition back to the resolution at hand. Mr. Callahan?
Thank you. I want to thank Councilwoman Grace Cramsey Smith and Councilman Reynolds for bringing this forward. I don't know what the will of the rest of council is, if they want to table this and get some more impact and feedback also from some of the people that spoke tonight on the phone, and also some of the people that showed up at the meeting tonight. I had an incident probably 1984 that really changed my life. I have, like many white people, we just walk around thinking that there's no racism in the world, and we never even know how it can be felt without even a word being said or an act. And my oldest brother was a basketball coach at Syracuse University, and I went up there when I was in college, and I have been in rooms, parties, meetings, all the way up to that point in my life, many times with one African-American person, one Hispanic person. Never in my mind did I ever think about, you know, that there was any racism in the room or any feelings of it. And after the basketball game, I went out with the starting center at the time. His name was Andre Hawkins, and he took me to a party. He told my brother, he said, "Coach Callahan, you know, I'm gonna take your brother out, because I was the same age as he was, and we're gonna go out, you know, to a couple parties on Marshall Street, which is a big, you know, social area down in Syracuse." And before the party, or before we went to Marshall Street, he goes, "I got stopped by this place," and we walked into a party in a little condo. And when we walked in, I was overwhelmed with a feeling of a very uncomfortable feeling. Not because it was anything was said or anything was done to me. We walked into an all black party, and that was the first time in my life I was the only white person in a room with all minorities. And there were some really nice people who came up to me
and said hi to me and offered me, you know, a drink or a beverage. And there were some people who just looked at me like and gave me a look, and there was nothing said. It was just a look and a feeling that, like, maybe I wasn't really supposed to be there. And Andre went upstairs, and I was basically left alone in this, you know, in this place on the first floor for maybe 15, 20 minutes. I didn't know anybody in the room, and everybody in there was African American. And that changed my life forever, because I never, ever will forget that feeling that I had of just feeling like, that there's feelings of racism out there. And from that point forward, anytime I'm ever in a room with anybody that's not of the majority, whether they're African American or Hispanic or Asian, I always try to go out of my way and welcome them, you know, and make them feel as comfortable as possible. So I want to congratulate both council persons for bringing this forward. I don't know if the people, if they would be willing to table this at this point to get more feedback from the two minority council people, Councilwoman Negron and Councilman Cologne, and to also get more feedback on.